Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's great to have you here with us. We do a little bit of a different kind of show that we've been doing throughout the bulk of the spring and summer, where we were doing mostly interview shows, and I really enjoyed doing those, and we'll keep doing those. But I felt like we hadn't done something in a while, and I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about our experiences with the Korn Ferry Tour, as they're kind of coming to a close, at least in the capacity we've been doing them the last couple of years. And I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about it, recap it with you, especially in the wake of the end of the season for the Korn Ferry Tour. Before we get into that, get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter or X. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I'm on all those places. On X, Ryan Ballingy. On Instagram and Facebook, Ryan Ballingy Golf. And Ryan Ballingy Golf also on YouTube. That all said, so for those of you who may or may not know, we've done a show at Golf News Net for the last 2 years in conjunction with our friends at French Lick Resort, and it's been called The Road to French Lick. And that show came about because my good friend Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort came and reached out to me when the Korn Ferry Tour and the tournament that's the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, now formerly presented by United Leasing and Finance, moved from Evansville, Indiana, and Victoria National Golf Club, which is part of the Dormy Network. And I was a member of that for about, I don't know, year, 14 months, something like that, like a pandemic kind of thing. We'll talk about that a little later. And they moved to the Pete Dye course at French Lick Resort, which is a place I've played a bunch of times. One of my favorite places. It's an incredible golf course. It's the showpiece for the resort. It's hosted the Senior PGA Championship. It's hosted multiple senior women's majors. It hosted the Epson Tour. It hosted the Big Ten Championships multiple times. It's a place that, although it's basically 18 years old, has hosted a lot of significant championships in golf. And it was a five-year deal with the tournament to host the event at French Lick on the Dye course. And that announcement, when it was made, was, a huge deal for the resort. It was an opportunity to showcase the biggest golf event they had had to date, on the biggest tour they had had to date, on the Dye course, and what it could mean for the community, what it could mean for sponsorship, what it could mean for the charitable component. Those were all big things, big things. And so Brendan reached out to me and said, hey, I've kind of been charged with promoting this tournament, finding unique ways to get not only French Lick's name out there, but awareness to the broader golf public that we're going to have this tournament and we're really excited to have it. What do you think about doing a show about the Korn Ferry Tour? And I'm a kind of person who likes to say yes. I like coming up with ideas. I like trying them. I am very much an iterative person. If an idea doesn't work, then we just stop doing it. If it works and we need to make it better, we'll change it in certain ways until we get it right. And I said, yeah, let's come up with a game plan. And we tried our first season. And our original intent was to come up with about a dozen shows that would chronicle the Korn Ferry Tour. Brendan would kind of be our point guy, representing not only the resort, but also our show, going to these tournaments, talking to players, while also talking to other tournaments and other tournament directors and getting information about hosting the event and just kind of an information type sharing thing. So kind of killing two birds with one stone, but also getting some great content. And I would be the guy that would put it together, doing the production side for Golf News Net. We put it out on our new channel, Golf News Net TV, which now is a little bit more than a year old, but we were going to put it out on our website and through other means as well. We were going to make sure people saw it. And the first season, I think we did a pretty decent job. Brendan went out and went to a bunch of tournaments. I think went to a handful of tournaments. We had the resort's kind of graphics guy, Troy, who's a great dude, helped us come up with a show intro. And it was kind of serious and majestic looking. And our show didn't necessarily take that tenor. I mean, we talked about the Korn Ferry Tour and its characters and its results and players with you know, a reverence and appreciation for what they're going through. But it was meant to be more fun. I mean, that's just who Brendan and I tend to be. We tend to be more fun than serious. We know when to be serious, but we tend to be more fun people. And the content that Brendan captured doing the show, talking with players, you know, he would get them on camera for 2 to 5 minutes at a time. Some cases even less than that, to be honest with you. But you know, we're trying to talk to guys and get to know them a little bit without kind of spending so much time on it that it was a burden for them and that it would kind of go a lot longer than what we wanted in a show. And we started kind of finding our formula. I would talk in the studio on camera about the most recent tournament. We'd get a winner's interview from the Korn Ferry Tour staff. Most of the time they had it. Didn't always, but most of the time had it. And I think we kind of pushed them a little bit along the way to make sure those things were captured because we were going to use them. We wanted to promote the tour. And they were very helpful to work with in that regard. Zach and his folks, they were great. And we then would go and kind of have our guest of the week. And we would kind of backload some of these or front load them, I suppose. And then kind of release them over the course of a number of episodes, try to make them somewhat timely and relevant to when we captured them in the first place. And Brendan and I would then talk on camera after the fact about what happened in the event, what we're seeing moving forward, points list stuff, all kinds of things like that. And it felt like every episode we got a little bit better at it. You know, the editing got better, the content got better, the information that we provided got better. We did it more concisely. The episodes kind of started to take their own arc that we're getting closer to television length, 19, 20, 22 minutes in length. And we were putting those out over on golfnewsnet.com, and we put them out on YouTube and put them out on Facebook in full length form. And that was kind of season one. And I think we did 13 or 14 episodes the first year. We ultimately did a last episode around Q School, because Brendan lives in Orlando full time. And we really, really enjoyed doing that. And we agreed we're going to do a second season and we're going to expand it. We're going to do double the number of episodes because there are 26 tournaments on the Korn Ferry Tour schedule. And if we did 24 episodes or 25 episodes or something in that area, then we pretty much have them all covered, even though only about 10 of them are on TV. And there's a big stretch in the beginning of the year for the tour where it's not in the United States. It's either in the Bahamas or in Central or Southern, you know, South America. And the tour doesn't really hit the American border, you know, inside of the United States and the American consciousness until really April, maybe a little bit in March with Lakewood Ranch, but it's really April. And then they go on this run April through the beginning of October. And that's really when we started, you know, went to tournaments and stuff like that. But we found ourselves this year with an opportunity to go to the Bahamas and go play in the first pro-am of the year and go to Atlantis for basically 36 hours. Flew in, we got our stuff down, we talked to some guys, we went to a pro-am party, we played in the pro-am, which was great with Dan and Patrick. And we had so much fun talking to them and just playing and capturing interviews with other people. Talked to folks from the tournament at the Bahamas. We talked to folks with the Korn Ferry Tour. And that was kind of the start of the year. We got it off to a really good start. And we just kind of kept going. We found ways to talk to more guys, even when they were winning in South America. We had them on after the fact. And we kind of found a formula for the show that was a little bit crisper. The opening that Troy did for us for this year was so cool. I've had multiple people come up to me and say they really loved it and just wanted to say that it was awesome, and they wanted to kind of copy it for content that they were doing, whether that was for a partner of ours or just on their own. And it was really cool that people kind of took notice of what we were trying to do, and it got easier to talk to players and get them involved because they knew what we were doing. And golf's kind of funny in that regard. where, and this has been true of my life in basically its entirety in golf media, you kind of get more respect just by existing. It's a time-served kind of business. You don't just show up and go, well, we've got a boatload of money and we've got a lot of resources and we demand to be heard and respected. It doesn't quite work like that. It's more like, hey, if you keep knocking on that door, eventually someone will answer. And more people will answer the longer you're around knocking. And that was true with this. And we had an easier time getting players to talk. Brendan's really adept at talking to people. I mean, at networking, at getting to get information from them, get them to talk about themselves, be interesting. He is really, really, really good at that. And I admire that a lot. And that came out in the form of the interviews that we did this year. We did so many more this year than we did in the prior year. And it was really fun to kind of see what he got out of these guys, including going to Bay Hill and talking to guys like Brian Campbell, who wound up winning twice on the year and had just won when he went to Bay Hill. And then Audrey Potgieter, who was basically the last guy in last year, winds up winning on the PGA Tour this year. And had interviews with them. And we found a lot of success this year by taking some of those interviews and breaking them out from the show and getting them out through our short form partners. Not to get, this isn't a minutia behind the scenes inside baseball show all the time, but we have distribution deals with a variety of different partners, Microsoft Network, which turns out to be a huge spigot, with a company called Video Elephant. They're good partners of ours. They help us distribute to all kinds of different screens. Obviously, we use social media. Facebook has become a much bigger thing for Golf News Net this year. We tripled our following this year in about 3 or 4 months just by committing resources to good content and just making sure that on golfnewsnet.com, we lead with that stuff, that people see the work that we put into it. And so far this year, about 3.5 million views have come in on any form of content related to the Road to French Lick, which means we were getting people aware and excited about the Korn Ferry Tour, which was exactly the mission we were trying to accomplish. And then the payoff for the year, both seasons, was the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, right? United Leasing and Finance had been the sponsor of this tournament for 14 years after this year. They've backed it for a long time. They were proud to have Southern Indiana be the final site for the Korn Ferry Tour, be the site for the graduation ceremony, whether that was at Victoria National, which is one of the hardest golf courses I've ever played, or at the Pete Dye course, which is also one of the hardest golf courses that I've ever played. Both of them are extremely difficult challenges. And it was a really kind of proving ground, a prove your mettle type tournament. And especially, I think so, at French Lick, where guys were winning, you know, in the this year where they played better because the weather conditions were more favorable. Last year was more like 9 under the 1. This year is 14 under the one, I believe is the final number. But, you know, that's not what you expect week to week on the Korn Ferry Tour. Usually you expect 22, 24, 29 under to win. You got to go super low on this tour to really have an opportunity. And this was not that. This was kind of, hey, this is going to be more like a PGA Tour stop. It's going to be really long. It's going to be narrow. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be fast and challenging and firm. And if you want to be a big boy and go to the PGA Tour, you're going to have to graduate from this challenge in particular. And it was always a huge week for the resort to get to showcase itself to the world, right? I mean, they got 4 days of coverage on Golf Channel in a live window. It was really cool to have the staff from the production team come out on site. And they really did that as they had done more stuff inside of their new studio, the PGA Tour studios in Northeast Florida. They had to come to French Lick because of the location and the ability to kind of get a satellite/cell signal out into the world. So they had to do it locally. And so you had all the production folks come in from NBC, very nice folks. Just a good group of people to get to talk with, get to spend time with. We go bowling, we go out to eat, drink, talk together. It was really, really nice. And it was also great for the resort again, to be able to interact with their partners for a long time, you know, from Ron Romaine and his team at United Leasing and Finance to the folks at Old National Bank. German American Bank was here this year. TaylorMade was involved as a sponsor. There was a corporate shootout that involved some of the folks from French Lick Resort, like some of the golf professionals and sales staff. And it just really was a cool party and a great way for a lot of people in Southern Indiana. And that's not saying anything of the folks who did the catering and the tents, you know, the corporate hospitality tents and all the merch and everyone who works at the resort that typically works on the golf side. That, yeah, they had pro-ams a lot of days on the Ross course, and a lot of like the beverage and food staff came over and worked at the tournament. And that was really, really cool. And it's been a joy for me the last couple of years to get to come to the resort, not only for those weeks, that the weeks of the tour championships, but also leading into it, whether that's for media day or otherwise. And just to kind of catch up with people, you get to make friends, right? I mean, I like to make friends. I like to make acquaintances. And the folks at French Lick are fabulous. And the people on the golf staff really care. They do a great job. They're fun to be around. The executive team at the resort, I've really enjoyed getting to know as well, because they have kind of come, not of age, I mean, they were of age when golf at French Lick really took off with the Pete Dye course 18 years ago, but they have gone through all of this growth together. Brendan and Joe Vizzozo and Chuck and Chris and Dave, everyone on their team has kind of done this together. And it's been really cool to see from my involvement with the resort over the years, whether that's just as a content creator slash writer slash whatever I do these days, coming in to hang out for the Epson Tour events or for senior LPGA championships or for this, to see what that's meant to the resort, what that's meant for their ability to raise money for charity, which has always been really, really important to them, having auctions, having opportunities to raise money for a charity called Golf Gives Back. Jack Pate, who's kind of the chair of that, is a fantastic guy and really works hard to direct as many dollars as humanly possible from tournaments that are at French Lick or in Southern Indiana to these types of charities. Building Blocks has been the beneficiary of the tournament for the last several years, and they are dedicated to giving resources for early childhood education, which is incredibly important. The outcomes for kids who have access to higher quality education materials and services at an early age are incredible compared to otherwise. If you put a book in a kid's hand, if you read to them, if you teach them letters and numbers and colors and communicate ideas to them consistently from a young age and make that a possibility for parents who might have to work more than one job or might not have the income to get those books or the resources to get those kinds of educational toys, or just to have someone who can help them with their children because maybe they don't have the capacity or the training or what have you to do it. It's incredible. And at the media day this year, Steve Ferguson, who is the chair of the Cook Companies, which owns French Lick Resort, came up and presented a huge six-figure check to Building Blocks in anticipation of the tournament. Just, hey, like, we want to do this right now. Interrupted the program. Here's the check. We love what you're doing. It was incredible. Really, really cool moment. We took video of it and put it out, you know, through our social channels and short form channels. And it's been really, really cool to see that connection between, again, French Lick Resort, charitable component, the Southern Indiana kind of group of people that are helping make this tournament possible. And all of it is pretty beautiful. And also, I've had the good fortune to get to know Yoon and his Uncle June at Uncle Joe at their restaurant across from the resort, Moo Moo's, which is an incredible steakhouse, really just a cool piece of property. And then the adjoining restaurant, which is Uncle Joe's, which is Ohana, where, I mean, Mumu's has incredible steak, incredible everything, really, but their steaks are fantastic. The burger is unbelievable. Really, everything's good. They make the best old fashioned I've ever had. And Ohana probably makes, believe it or not, the best sushi I've ever had. And I know that's going to sound weird, especially if you're kind of a food snob, because you wouldn't think Southern Indiana be the place that kind of thing happens. But man, Ewan and Joe are fantastic. They understand food. They understand running restaurants. They've done a fantastic job. They had a great idea and they're crushing it. And it's really cool for them to get the kind of shine that they got also from having the Corn Ferry Tour there, to have the folks who are working with the tournament, whether that's with the PGA Tour staff, whether that's with the NBC folks, whether that's players, agents, their families, you name it. That place was buzzing all week and all weekend long because of that. And it's just a really kind of cool celebration. So I really enjoyed this experience of the last 2 years, being able to produce this show and getting to know so many people in this community, whether they came from Evansville or they live in Jasper or they came from somewhere else. We went out of our way to Orleans, which is a town just on the way toward French Lick Springs, to go see Dave Harner play in his band. And dude can pluck some strings. He's a great guitar player, and really, really enjoyed that. And that kind of thing happens when you create relationships and make friends and you kind of invest in people. And I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed talking to Doug Pettit with the folks at United Leasing and Finance. Good dude. To get to talk to Mr. Ferguson. There's so many people whose contacts I have in my phone because of this tournament, particularly at the French Lick Resort, and because of being involved with this show the last 2 years, that I really have enjoyed getting to know and will continue to be friends with. That all said, the tournament is no longer going to be played at French Lick Resort. The folks at the Corn Ferry Tour decided to move the tournament from Southern Indiana to Richmond, Virginia. And that's going to start next year. They're going to play at a place called the Federal Club. And that kind of all seemed to coalesce ahead of the tournament. And then it was kind of all revealed just after the tournament. And that's a supposed, I think, 4 or 5 year deal. Again, you know, those types of things I don't think really matter in the end. But Richmond is going to be the end site for the Corn Ferry Tour. And that for Richmond is backed by basically destination development and tourism development companies in RICO and I think Hanover counties, which are abut each other. And basically it's kind of where Federal Club is on the border of those two counties. And they're trying to drive tourism to the region. They signed an agreement with the Corn Ferry Tour. They're going to host. They have had the PGA Tour champions there for basically 15 years as part of the Corn Ferry, or not the Corn Ferry Tour, excuse me, the PGA Tour Champions playoffs, the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs. And that tournament was ending. Everyone in the area knew that when Dominion Energy, which had been the sponsor of the PGA Tour Champions event, as well as the Country Club of Virginia, which is, we got like two sites and three courses, both decided they didn't want to continue once the contract ended. So they were going to honor the contract to the end. Dominion Energy was going to walk away. Country Club of Virginia didn't want it anymore because their members wanted to play golf in the fall and they didn't want to have to give up their golf course for professional golfers and concert goers who, you know, they had concerts many times at the event. So they wanted to have their golf course back. That happens. That happens a lot. That's usually one of the biggest reasons why venues walk away, is the members just decide they've had enough of giving up their golf course. But they found a new host in Federal Club, at least for the short term. And they found a new sponsor in the way of Richmond Development Tourism. And I think they're hopeful that there'll be a big benefit to the business and community interests of the Richmond area as a result. So that closes a chapter of hosting the tournament in Southern Indiana. It's been there as the tour championship for, you know, about a, it's been there a while, let's put it that way, basically a decade. And now that tournament is no longer part of the schedule as we know it. So the Korn Ferry Tour Championship will be in Virginia, and there won't be an event in Southern Indiana, at least for the foreseeable future. And so the show is over, right? The Road to French Lick doesn't end the Korn Ferry Tour season anymore. The Road to French Lick leads to French Lick, which is sad and unfortunate. And I have all kinds of different feelings about that. Many of them I will just keep to myself for a variety of reasons. And yet at the same time, I look back on the show and what the resort did in hosting it and the effort that they put in and everything they accomplished. And I feel extremely proud of what we did. I feel extremely proud of the people who work at the resort and what they accomplished and the effort that they put in and what they did to showcase their part of Southern Indiana and their part of the world to the world. And that it's a great destination and a great place with lots of great people, two great golf courses that are 18-hole challenges. And in the time that, just the time that they've hosted the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, they opened a short course, Sand Creek, which is really fun little kind of pitch and putt, a mixture of holes that go in length from literally 14 yards to 90 yards. And we played some of that with Andre Gonzalez, and who was calling for Golf Channel on one site, and had a great time with him several days playing golf. And they're now building what will be called the Ridgeview course. So a few years ago, I think this was 2021, Brendan drove me up to the property that's now going to be Ridgeview and said, hey, don't you think it'd be really cool if we put a golf course here, we put nine holes here and connected it to what's called the Valley Links, a Tom Bendelow design, more than a century old, down in the Valley. And that used to be an 18-hole course. And when the resort built their convention center and concert venue, they took those nine of those holes away to build that. And they would combine this new nine holes, if they built it, with the Valley Link somehow and make a third 18-hole course. And they'd have housing for buddy trips that's outside of the resort hotel rooms, which are fantastic at French Lick, and outside of West Baden Spring, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever stayed a night in my life. And wouldn't that be cool? And we kind of rode around a little bit and looked at it. I was like, yeah, this would be awesome. It'd be kind of played down to the valley. You could really see how it could shape up. And as it turns out, they're doing it. They're building Ridgeview. You can see it from the die course. And we had so many great opportunities to view the Korn Ferry Tour Championship from these quiet, elevated vistas on the die course. And that, I mean, those are some of my favorite moments of those two championship weeks. But also now you can see them building Ridgeview. So we've played the Valley a bunch. I love the Valley. It's nine holes. It's surprisingly long for a course that seems pretty flat and straightforward. It's 3,500 yards from the tips. There's a 250-yard par three on it. It's a really fun course to play. The Valley Links is ultimately going to be renovated once Ridgeview is done. So we've seen the shaping now starting to really kind of come together on Ridgeview. A bunch of holes are pretty well shaped, and they're moving a lot of earth, a lot of limestone to make that possible. There's going to be an island green, a drivable par four that's basically just straight down the ridge, which is going to be crazy, and it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to open that, and hopefully we'll chronicle some of that with you, because again, I've kind of become invested in French Lick. French Lick as a town, French Lick as a resort, people associated with the town, people associated with the resort. And I want to stay connected to it. I mean, we spent a lot of time in Indiana this year. Brendan and I did, not only at the resort, but also doing a project with the state of Indiana's tourism development company, Visit Indiana, where we played basically 20 public golf courses, the 20 best public golf courses in the state, minus the region near Cincinnati, and did videos on them. And we're releasing those now. And you'll see more of them from the Visit Indiana folks in the new year. We're releasing them now at Golf News Net. So I've spent a lot of time in Indiana and I've gotten to know people, a bunch of different places, doing these videos, getting to talk to people at different golf courses and hotels and properties and bars and restaurants and all these things. And it's been really, really cool. So I am hoping to stay involved in some capacity with French Lick Resort, a little bit with the state of Indiana as well as a result. And it's a relationship that I probably would not have expected to have created 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And yet here it is. And I hope the feeling is mutual with the folks I've gotten to know over the last couple of years going to this tournament, doing this show. It's been really, really great. But unfortunately, things come to a close, things change, and you have to find a way to move on. So we're figuring that out. But I wanted to spend this podcast just kind of talking about what it meant to me to be able to do this show with Brendan, again, with everyone with the resort. Brendan and I have spent so much time together. He is a fantastic human being, and he does so many things so well. And I mean, he gets a fair amount of guff at times, playful, loving guff. But he is an incredible networker. He works extremely hard. He is very flexible with ideas and concepts, and he has good ideas that we have integrated into our shows, and he's willing to say yes. I mean, he was a first tee announcer for the tournament for multiple years. The first year, I think he did it every day. This year, I think he did just the one. He's emceed the corporate shootout, which was really funny, even though there were probably only 30 people watching that weren't in the shootout on Friday. And then he called players in on Sunday afternoon for the final, I don't know, 9-10 groups, and just kind of let everyone know in that amphitheater around the par 5 18th on the die who these players were, where they came from. Just fun, playful, new facts about them. You know, I kind of did some pronunciation guide stuff for some of the more difficult names. And then he would go down there and walk up to every single person whose name he announced and thank them for coming, thank them for playing, for being at the resort. The guy is just a consummate professional, a lot of fun to be around. And I'm really grateful for his friendship and to get to do this kind of stuff with him. It's really special and it's really cool. And we're going to figure out ways to continue to make that happening. I think we have a good rapport. I think it comes across the enthusiasm that we have in our content, and we'll find different stories to tell, new stories to tell, whether that's about golfers, resort, both. We've still got a lot of things to talk about, and I'm excited to continue doing that with Brendan. So that's it for this show. If you have any questions for me about anything we talked about here, or just golf, or you want someone you want me to talk to, an interview you want us to do, email me is the easiest way, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or Ryan Ballingy Golf on Instagram or Facebook, Ryan Ballingy on Twitter/X, Ryan Ballingy Golf on YouTube as well. However you want to get a hold of me, I'm happy to talk to you anytime. Really appreciate the support. We'll have some more announcements coming about Golf News Net TV, our future apps called Watch Golf that's coming, some other stuff as well. And we're going to try and get some more interviews in here throughout the rest of the year, because it's been really cool to see, kind of, for lack of a better term, the revival of this show. You know, a long time ago, the 19th Hole Golf Show was one of like three golf podcasts before there was such a thing as an iPod. And over the years, just my ability to do this show consistently, because of everything else that was going on in life, whether that was professionally and all the stuff with Golf News Net, or just personally with my kids and family, kind of dissipated. And this year I wanted to commit to at least getting more episodes out there and having conversations with people that I thought were interesting and sharing them with you. And I think we've done a pretty good job with that this year. And I really appreciate you listening and supporting that, and want to continue doing that. moving forward. So we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep building it out and trying to get people on the show that are interesting from all walks of golf and life and some kind of intersection between golf and life and have those conversations with you. All right. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it. We will talk to you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.